This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilman ya kareem. Welcome back to the prophetic day. This is our third day. We are going through the journey of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's day-to-day, average day in his life. For those of you that have missed out, there will be a playlist that would be there for us to be able to go and see how do we study seerah. And I've done some videos. If you check my last few videos, I've done some videos where I talk about how do we study seerah. What are the sciences of study of being able to study seerah? And we are, walaikum assalam, rahmatullah, brother Sajid, how are you doing? Hala, assalamu alaikum, I hope you're doing well, all of you. Barakallahu feekum for being here. So today we are carrying on discussions on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam waking up. So yesterday's episode, we talked about it, where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wakes up and then he hears the adhan of Bilal radiallahu an and everything related to that. And then we said it is now at a time where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prayed his 2 rak'ah sunnah. He's lying down next to his wife and he's waiting for Bilal radiallahu an to tell Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people have gathered and everybody is ready in the masjid. And then Bilal radiallahu an, he would enter, he would say, Ya as-salah, as-salah, ya Rasulullah, that salah is about, you know, Rasulullah, that masjid is filled, please come out for salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would use his right foot for leaving from his house, entering into the masjid, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come. Now, I want to pause over here and talk about something very important. So there would be times where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would come out, for example, he would come out, and people would be able to see that his hair are wet. So keep in mind that he had long hair. His hair, you know, manabit, his hair were from the earlobes to the shoulder, depending on varying lengths. So he had long hair. He would braid his hairs in 4 different ways. So, you know, there's different ways the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take care of his hair. One would be that he would split it from half in between and 2 on the sides. The other would be that they would make 4 portions and each would be a zafira. It would be like a dreadlock. So there's different ways that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of his hair. But the point being over here that when he was coming out to the masjid, sahabas could clearly see that he had just recently taken a shower, right? Imagine for 1 second, like, you know, what would happen if the imam, so they're saying rubbama yakhruj, who he would come, and you can see that he has taken a shower. And sometimes what would happen is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would come, he would stand up and he's about to pray and he realized, I haven't taken a shower. All right, think about it. I had relationship with my wife last night, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the messenger of Allah, he is standing in mihrab. All the sahaba, they are all lined up. Fajr is about to happen, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, thumma tadhakkar annahu junub. He would remember that he has janaba. He has had relationships with his wife. Hence, it is wajib on him to go and make ghusl. Imagine he would turn around to the sahaba and he would tell them, makanakum, nobody leaves your position, stay in your positions. So mayarja, then he would go back ila baytihi faghtasil. Imagine he did not have showers, like my bathroom is right at the back, for example. He didn't have a shower. He goes in, pops up the tabs, done. If it was a cold day, if it was a cold night, you would have to warm up the water. You would have to go and fetch for water. Water was not found in taps in the houses. You would have to prep for that ghusl. Imagine at least 20 minutes, 25 minutes, the sahabas are waiting in line for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go back and go back over there and obviously come back after having taken a shower. So I want you to think about it, the length of the shower. I mean, today, if an imam walks out and he has forgotten that he hasn't, you know, he had relationship with his wife, and imam walks out, and then he realizes, oh my God, I have to take janaba. What do you think the people are going to do to that imam? Like, he would be like whooped. They'll be like, what's wrong with you? What kind of imam? We have made you the imam of the masjid. You don't even come prepared. How dare you come to the masjid? You are in a state of najasa. Astaghfirullah, na'uzu billah. And all the beautiful things that the people in the front row are going to tell to this imam. Right? He might even lose his job today. But in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's time, this was the norm. Like your khususiyat, the private matters for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his private matters were public so that he could guide you and me to the right path. That was the purpose of him coming out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam coming out as a messenger. I should rephrase that statement again. That nowadays we're living in a crazy time. Coming out has a whole bunch of connotations. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam being appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a messenger, that was not, the purpose was that you would get to know every single detail about his life. The smallest part about his life, you should be aware of it. So his private life was public so that we can fix our private lives. I think that's a really nice tweetable. I just made it up. His public life, his private life was public so that we could reform our private lives. Then the length of the shower, 20 minutes. You know, today the imam is late 5 minutes. Allahu Akbar. The uncles, the people in the first row, come on, who's going to lead? This is not from the adab. This is not from the adab of imam. You know, Sheikh Abdullah Idris, hafizahullah, in Isna, mashallah, you know, he has this mabda, and which I 100% agree with, that we are not living in mechanical times where when we say 7:30, the iqama must happen. It must happen at 7:30. If the imam is late 5 minutes, we should give the benefit of doubt to the imam and allow him to come and take his position, because we have appointed him as the one who is going to lead us in salah. And this particular principle is between the adab of imam, the adab of ma'mun, the respect and the etiquette that the ma'mun, the one who is supposed to be led by the imam, shows towards the imam. Then the next part, what happens today? Like, think about it, right? If an imam actually does this, he's probably going to lose his job. Nothing's going to happen. Like, nobody's going to pray behind him. And we need to walk away from a lesson over here that we are all humans, right? We are all humans, every single one of us, including Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that was the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these incidents would take place to show us that he was a human. Except Allah had sent wahi to him and he was ma'soom. He was purified from any mistakes. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as soon as he would line up, he would tell the sahaba, سَوُّوا صُفُوفَكُمْ, straighten your lines, وَتَرَاصُوا, and make sure that you're standing, you know, shoulder to shoulder, feet to feet. And then he would say, فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ تَمَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. This is a point that I want to take. He would say that I want to talk about. He would say that correcting تَسْوِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ, perfecting your rows, is from the acts of perfecting your salah. Today, my brothers and sisters, I see this all the time, where a brother would be standing. I know we're in pandemic and we're 6 feet apart, but inshallah, we go back to the norm. And when we're standing like that, think about it. I'm standing like this, Allahu Akbar, and I'm standing. I should be shoulder to shoulder with my brother next to me or my sister next to me. Okay, there should not be any gaps between us. There should not be any, وَلَا تَدَعُوا فُرْجَةٍ لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Do not leave any gaps for shaitan to come in between and start whispering and breaking the lines of the believers. So very important for us. Rasulullah says that perfecting our rows is from perfecting. The way you perfected your wudu, the way you come for Jum'ah prepared, you put your itar on, you put all of that, that's the exact same way you should be worried about the correction of the sufuf. Okay? So if there's a gap, pull the brother You pull the sister and you fulfill that gap. If there's a gap in the front, you move forward and you fulfill that gap. Very important for us to take care of these things. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would start off with Surah Al-Fatiha. Right before Surah Al-Fatiha, he would have the dua, which is Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya. You know, the famous dua, which is on the screen right now, where Al-Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam kana yukabbir, he would say the takbiratul ihram, and then after takbiratul ihram, or the takbira, or the inaugural call, or a takbir, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would enter and he would say, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib, Allahumma naqqini min al-khataya kama yunaqqa thawb al-abyadu min al-danas, Allahumma ghsilni min al-khataya bil-thalji Allahumma ghsilni min al-khataya bil-thalji wal-ma'i wal-barad. So this is the dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in, you know, normal times would say. One of the benefits of studying the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help us sending salutations on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beautiful, beautiful hala. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu feekum for that beautiful gem. That, yes, one of the benefits is when we study the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single time I say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you all get to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the most beautiful benefits of studying the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together is that every single time you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel at the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the angel talks to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he is alive in his grave. His life, the way he is alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the nature of that. But we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive and he hears that messenger call out and he say, Ya Rasulallah, this is by the way a sahih hadith, the messenger is going to say, O Prophet of Allah, Fulan ibn Fulan, right? It would say, Sajid, for example, if Sajid bhai is here, Sajid ibn Mahmud. Sajid, the son of Mahmud, has sent salutations to you. The ulama, they have derived a beautiful ruling over here, a beautiful point. They've said that us sending salutations on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a form of birr. It is a form of us taking care of our parents. It is a form of birr, i.e. it is a form of doing good to our parents. So how would you ask? You would ask, how is that a form of birr? It is a form of doing good to our parents because your parents would love that your name is mentioned when Justin Trudeau is saying, hey, you know, I would like to make a special shout out to, you know, Sajid ibn Mahmud for a beautiful thing that he did. I would like to make out a special shout out to Hala, you know, and obviously your parents are going to be like, Subhanallah, my daughter, my son's name was mentioned in XYZ place. And that obviously is going to be a place of very source of pride for your parents, and they would feel really good about it. Then what about your name being mentioned in the best gathering, which is in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So remember, every time we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, you should repeat that. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would raise his hands and then he would stand in line and he would say Allahu Akbar, takbiratul ihram. He would go through the regular salah. I am not going to go into the details of the salah, except that I want to point out a few things. One of them would be that the nature of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite his salah was very different from what we do. So today we come and we say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawmid Din, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, and we go full out, bulletproof all the way. And that is not how we're supposed to be doing it. The nature of how we're supposed to be doing the salah, if we were to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is you say Allahu Akbar, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give an equal amount of, you know, a very long pause between verses to be able to ponder upon them. So he would say Allahu Akbar, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and then he would pause. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Right, the ayah, it says فيقرأ قراءة مفصلة مترسلة. He would read قراءة مفصلة, break every ayah space by space, time enough pause between the ayah to take your breath, to ponder, to go into the next ayah, rather than a bulletproof, or not a bulletproof, like a bullet train type of a salah that we do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us a tawfiq that we're able to pray like that. So he would pray his regular salahs. Usually the Fajr recitations would last between 60 to 100 verses. That is around two pages to three pages on average of the Quran that he would recite, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would turn around and فَإِنْ كَانَ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, if it was يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ قَرَأَ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الْأُولَى, he would read Surah Al-Sajda in the first rak'ah. So on the day of Fajr of يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, the Fajr of Yawm al-Jum'ah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read Sajda. And then on the second day, on the second rak'ah, he would read هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. He would read Surah Al-Insan. Both of those surahs are beautiful to ponder upon for us to be able to grasp those meanings. Then sometimes if the ummah was going through a difficult time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do qunut in the last rak'ah. So what would happen is rubbama qanata ba'da ruku' min rak'ati thaniya. So he would get up from second ruku, so he has done the first rak'ah, second rak'ah, he's done the ruku', and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get up from the second ruku', and then he would make qunut al-nazila. He would make the qunut is basically when the ummah is inflicted by pain, then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah takes care of that. And I'll give you an example of that. You know, when the Syrian crisis, when, you know, Bashar Assad started attacking Syria, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the people of Syria, the people of Yemen, and all the other places, Kashmir, Pakistan, Rohingya, the Uyghurs right now in China, may Allah save them all from the calamities and at the hands of these tyrants, and take those tyrants away from this world and show them a very humiliating end. But having said that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah is that you raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not raise your hands to, okay, that's a really interesting point. I'll come back to that, Hala. I'll come to the point. But they would make qunut, which is, you know, the dua that we make in our witr salah regularly. That's the dua that you make, depending on whatever dua you have learned. I am not going to educate you on the dua. That's not the purpose of the series. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would carry on his regular salah. Then what would happen, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do his morning, evening du'as and all of that, that would be a discussion, inshallah, that we will do tomorrow. Now the question is, but the problem is people make fun sometimes of relatives that take too long to pray. Hala, if the relatives take too long to pray, that is their problem. In the sunnah is that in Fajr, if you have memorize that much Quran, then this is Fajr is the time where you are allowed to extend your salahs. As for the other salawats, you have to make sure that if people are following or if you have some important things to do, then you are cognizant of the fact that salah should not become a hindrance. Like one of my cousins takes long to pray and people joke at him. Nope, they can joke at him. He's praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not praying to please the people. So people are going, you know, there's a very interesting saying which says رِضَ النَّاسِ غَايَةٌ لَا تُدْرَكُ, that the pleasure of people is a goal that you're never going to achieve. Today you're going to please these people, tomorrow there's going to be people that are going to be upset with you from a different sect, then they're going to be from your relatives, then they're going to be from another set of, like, this is something you're never going to be able to achieve. So we should never focus on the fact that, you know, your relatives are upset or somebody's upset, as long as you're not hurting them. It's your own ibadah. It is your own task. You do what you have to do. And in the end, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you had benefited from what we're talking about, then I would definitely ask that you share it with your friends and family. These discussions are meant for us to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's day in a light that sometimes we do not see. His normal day that he spent. And that's the whole purpose of these discussions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives you tawfiq and gives me tawfiq. And in the end, if you are benefiting from this, my only plea to you is, inshallah, I'll be going live every single day, depending on internet. Yesterday we had an internet outage and whatever, but I will be going live every single day to finish the prophetic day before Ramadan. So join me and please spread the word. Let other people know that this is happening so that they can come on the YouTube channel or the Facebook, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.